Let's take our Bibles and look in John chapter 15. My text is going to be from verse 1 down to verse
5.
And I want to speak with you about Jesus, the true vine. This would be a parable that we've been looking at, like the other parables that our Lord Jesus gave on the eve of his going to the cross. And in this parable, there are four particular elements that we're going to consider. The first is how the Lord Jesus is the true vine. Second is how God the Father is the husbandman or the vine dresser. Thirdly, there are the branches. And then fourthly is the fruit. So let's read these five verses and then I'll make some comments on this subject, Jesus the true vine. John 15, verse 1, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And then again in verse 5, he repeats it. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So here we come back to the first element, as I said, the four that we're going to see, the vine, the husbandman, the branches, and the fruit. But first, let's look at the true vine. The vine was a familiar symbol to the Jewish people. When the Lord spoke of being the true vine, there were vineyards with grapes that they used to make wine, but there are also vine trees such as the fig tree.
Ndiyono kuchiyuda maoti mpesa adalipo abitundu ingapo mtundu oyamba unali mpesa umene amaponda kwa vinyo amene amama kumanso umayamira mkuyu.
Now the vine was used, particularly in the Old Testament, to describe the people of God. An example of this would be in Psalm 80, verses 8 and 9. In Psalm 80 and verse 8, we read, Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land.
Masalimo 8, ndimaga 8. Munatenga pesa kuchokera ku Igupto, munapirikitsa amitundu ndi kuwoka uwu. Muda soseratu kuwokapo, idagwiritsa mizu yache, ndipo unadzadza siko.
So throughout the Old Testament, the vine was used to describe the Jewish people that God had chosen and brought forth out of Egypt and planted in that land of Canaan and caused to prosper. But Israel was but a type of the people of God. Even as Paul said, they were not all Israel that were of Israel. There were the people of Israel, but then within that nation, there were those that were the true people of God by God's grace. That's why we read in Isaiah chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, how the Lord looked upon that vineyard that he had planted and found that it had not produced. That is the nation of Israel. Here in Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 1, we read, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes.
Ndijifuwa chake mtimakeyo ya mbili layo, ya Isaiah 45, akuti, ndi mbile wakondedwa wanga, nyimbo yokondedwa wanga ya munda wa mpesa. Wakondedwa wanga anali ndi munda wa mpesa, mchitunda cha zibatso zambiri ndipo iye anakumba mcherenje na kuzungulira kwete natola miyala pamenepo nawo kapo mpesa wosankhika nangamangapo pakati pache nsanja nasema mopondera mpesa nayembekeze kuti udzabala mpesa koma unangobala mpesa zosadya.
So it's a way of saying that though God had chosen out this people Israel and had fulfilled every promise to Israel that he said he would do in bringing them into the land and preserving them, yet they themselves remained a rebellious people.
Anamulonjeza malonjezano onse amene ambuye adabwera kukwaniritsa kumupatsa monga adamulonjeza kuti udzachoka mdziko la ukapolo napita mdziko la malonjezano ndipo izi zinachitika koma chosamalitsa nchakuti zidzatha kuchitika zonsezo koma Israeli adakhala be osasinthika.
That's why here in Isaiah 5 and verse 7 we see the Lord's indictment of them as a nation.
Ndifaje mundibaka yachisanto ndichuyo tikumuona Isaiah akumuforokozera Israel monga fuko.
It says Isaiah 5:7, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry.
Ndimaka chisanu ndi chiwiri. Chifukwa kuti munda wa mphesa wa Yehova wa makamu ndiwo banja la Israeli ndi anthu a Yuda, mtengo wache wokondweretsa, iye anayembekeza chiweruziro koma onani kuphana, nayembekezera chilungamo koma onani kufuula.
Now, does that mean that Israel's unbelief then thwarted the purpose of God? The answer clearly is not at all, because even though there was that physical nation of Israel that did not glorify the Lord, yet within that nation, God had promised, especially through the seed of David, to bring forth the true vine, which would be his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why here the important word in John 15 and verse 1, where the Lord says, I am the true vine. This would be in contrast to natural Israel that was condemned because of their unbelief. But out of that, God brought forth the true vine, which is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Njifaje mukamayangana kuthunthu kwa nkhani imeneyi pakungoonekera kuti mulungu monga pamalemba wake adalonjeza za Yesu Khristu kudzabwera ndipo apa adamuonetsa Yesu Khristu kumtulutsa kumuyika pambalanganda kuti anthu amuone ndi kumzindikira.
In Romans chapter 9 and verses 1 through 5, we find where the Apostle Paul is describing how the Lord Jesus Christ was brought forth from that nation of Israel to be the true Israel. Christ is the true Israel.
Yesu
Notice in verse 1, he says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, that is, the Jews.
Ndifake ndimake yambayo tsika mosi mavesa atatu ya Roma chapter 9 mena kuti ndinazoona mwa Kristi rusi ndidama ai chikumbo ntima changa chichita umboni pamodzi ndine mwa mzimu oyera kuti ndagwidwa ndi chisoni chechikuru ndi kupweteka kwa mtima wako koselekeza pakuti ndidafuna kuti ine ndekha ndembereredwe kundichotsa mwa kwa the street pakuti ndidafuna kuti ine ndekha ndidembereredwe kundichotsa kwa Kristu chifukwa cha abale anga ndiwo amtundu wanga monga mathupi.
So Paul's heaviness of heart is over his Jewish brethren, in other words, according to the flesh, that nation that remained in unbelief. Even as he went out to preach the gospel, they pursued him and persecuted him, even as they did the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says in verse 4, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom are concerning the flesh Christ came, who as concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen.
Kani ya uli Yesu Kristu, adabwela kutisikonu nafasi, ukapuru mutsandu wake, kumantu wake, saini ngira kumanka chisangu jina jijose, uraga kukumuke, ai, ndi chito ya mba jamwa, iye, jinunga mitra yo, amela jinunga mitra, kodo kuti jene kira kusindikira chikulechi. Amen.
So did God fail because he had raised up this nation of Israel and put them in the land and preserved them, and yet they were still in unbelief? Does that mean that God failed? And the answer is no. That's what he says there in verse 6. Not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. And then verse 7 continues, neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. So we read here that God's purpose all along was never to save the entire nation of Israel, but that through that nation, he would bring the promised seed through Isaac and Abraham, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole purpose for God having established that nation, to bring through it his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when we come back here to John 15 and verse 1, when the Lord said, I am the true vine, he is contrasting himself with that vine of the Old Testament that represented the Jewish nation. Now he's saying, I am the true vine. As I said, our Lord is likely giving this instruction to his disciples as they have left the upper room where he celebrated the last Passover with them, and now he's going toward the Garden of Gethsemane. They would have been passing through fields or gardens where vineyards were planted, and use that occasion then to speak of himself as being the true vine. So in contrast to Israel, natural Israel, here in this parable, the Lord is identifying himself as being the true vine, and that salvation is to be rooted in him, not in Israel, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true vine that was planted in this world by the Father. In other words, he came in the flesh and took root and grew up, even as Isaiah spoke of in Isaiah 53, for the purpose of being cut down and offering his life as a sacrifice for the sin of his true people that the Father had given him. So that's why our Lord, through the verses that we read, describes himself as the true vine and his Father as the vine dresser, and the branches being his true disciples and the fruit being that which they would bring forth because of their being united to the vine, Christ. There are many pictures given in the Bible about the relationship between God and his people. Sometimes we see the picture of Christ as the shepherd and his people being the sheep. Sometimes that relationship is described as Christ's body and the people being members of that body.
Kubaso pena ufotokozera iye omonga mpingo bao kandi bo mamembara age nao nilaso ena okwela minamu.
But here, in this parable, the picture is of Christ being the vine and his people being the branches.
Ndeti kumuona Yesu Kristu, akumuona tsera ambuye ngati wanthobe wanthaka, pamene Yesu Kristu akuoneka kuti iye ungodira kanthu ndi achitidwe chofunikazi.
And just as the sheep depend on the shepherd, or the members of a body depend upon the head of that body, so here the branches depend upon the vine for their existence. Here our Lord Jesus Christ was about to go to the cross and be separated from his disciples, but what greater encouragement could they have than to hear of Christ speaking here of himself as the vine, them as the branches, and that he as the vine keeps those branches, even though they were to face persecution and suffering after he was gone. Let's move to the second element then of this parable. Having seen Christ as the true vine, the second element is the Father as the vine dresser, or as my text says, the husbandman. So just as we saw in the Old Testament, the description of Israel being planted as that vine, who is it that planted them as the vine? It was none other than God the Father.
Yesu Kristu ndiye mkate weniweni wochokera kumwamba, iyeyo ndiye mpesa weniweni umene umagawira moyo kunthambi, nthambi zone zipereka zipatso zimene zithandizike. Chachikulu choposa chonse ndi vinyo amene ndapereka kuti sowa kuti tikhale ngati tikutchedwa pakati pathu.
So here we see the relationship between God the Father and the true vine, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, that everything that the Lord Jesus did in coming into this world and being planted as the true vine in the flesh was ordained of the Father. It was the Father who had sent him. It was the Father who ordered his steps, and it was for the Father's satisfaction that the Lord Jesus Christ would lay down his life. So any relationship that we as sinners may have with the Lord Jesus Christ as the vine, it's God the Father who so purposed it. He chose those that should be in Christ, and that everything that the Lord Jesus Christ did was through the will of the Father.
So kuona kuti chine chinhu chonse chimene Mulungu adachiyika kuti nkhosa zake zibwere kwa Atate kwa mwana wake.
This is what our Lord Jesus declared there in Hebrews chapter
10.
Verse 7, Hebrews 10, he said, Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God.
Mumbukula Hebrews 10, Nimega 7, Manevri Pamene Pondinati, Taona Nida Figa, Pamurubaje Pabuku, Palembera Zaine, Uzajiraji Funirojano, Murungu.
And he repeats it again in verse 9, Hebrews 10, 9. Then said he, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. Notice, he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. When it says he taketh away the first, that refers to Israel of old, that for centuries God planted them and preserved them, but now that the Lord Jesus Christ had come, He has established the second, the true vine.
Kwadauti ameyesu anazifurugozira oka kukala mpesa weniweni ubede awode tera wongula ndikombomela ndikukula kudongo surake la wino.
And verse 10 says, By the which will we are sanctified, how? Through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He came in this world according to the will of the Father to do his will, that he should lay down his life and pay the sin debt of that people that the Father had given him. That's how the Father is the vine dresser, ordering all things. Now coming back here to John 15 and verse 2, we see then the third element of this parable. We've seen the true vine. We've seen the role of the Father as the vine dresser. But here now we see the branches in verse 2.
Nipo tikabwerera kunkhani yathuyo kuku lathu limene tikuliyang'ana ndimeke yachiwiri ya Yohane chapter 15 ikunena kunena kuti tambiri yonse ya mwa ine yosabala chipatso aichotsa ili yonse yakubala chipatso aisatsa kuti ikabale chipatso chochuluka.
We see the branches and we see the fruit. When the Lord says here in verse 2, Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, this could be troublesome to some because they read that as being then that those can be cut off and cast away, condemned, even though they were in Christ. But we know that cannot be. When it says there, every branch in me, then we have to understand that these branches are the Lord's, that they are truly his seed. Else they would not be in him.
abantu akonetsera kwambiri kuti onse amene ali mwa iye ndi mbewu zenizeni pokesali wa iye ndizosatheka kuti sikuonetsa chichonsichonsichonse kuti
So the troublesome part there is where we read in verse 2, He taketh away. What does that mean? If you go back into the Greek word for take away here, it actually means to lift up. And it means to take away from the ground. In other words, as these branches of this vine would be hanging too low to the ground and were not producing fruit, the husbandman, the vine dresser, would take and literally lift them up. He would take a branch and prop up this branch so that it does produce.
Komatu ameyesu adakatsindika kuti munthu amene alibe mulungu sangathe kupanga chokondwetsa mulungu ayipokhapo wayamba ndi mulungu wachita ndi mulungu pa munthu.
So it's not that the Lord is threatening those that don't bear fruit and saying, ah, you better be careful. If you don't bear fruit, then I'm going to cut you off. That's not the sense here. But the idea here is that the Father actually, when it says takes away, lifts up from off the ground any unproductive branches so that they will produce, because the Lord's going to have his people. And so you can see the connection here in verse 2. Branches that are not producing, the Lord lifts up. That's in the sense of taking up, taking away from the ground. And even the branches that are bearing fruit, what does it say in verse 2? He purges that it may bring forth more fruit. It's all connected. Any that are farmers can understand this practice of going through and inspecting the tree, the plant, and purging, cutting off anything that is not productive, not in the sense of cutting it off and to destroy it, but that it might produce more fruit. The reminder here then is that apart from Christ and the Father blessing Christ and that people that are in him, nobody could produce fruit to the glory and honor of God. In fact, left to ourselves, we would all have to confess that there is no good thing that we could ever produce. We would be fruitless.
panizo la mwana uyu tiona nimene mulungu akulankhula za mpesazo tiona kuti kukhala pamaso pa ambuye kubwerera kwa ambuye ukoko amachita kupanga yekha komanso kuti munthu akhale wokonzeka ndi ma mulungu amachita kupanga yekha mulungu koma munthu payekha samatha kubwera pamaso pa ambuye.
So the purging here would be comparable to what the scriptures say, whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son. This is how the Lord deals with his own, that we would ever be kept in Christ in that work that he has accomplished on our behalf.
Mene mungu akulione zera kubwere tsapoyera ochima osankidwa kwanso ukafera muntu ujayo muntu twaka onse tiona mukugwirizana kwa malemba kuti Yesu Kristu anenekera kufotokozeredwa koma kuvumburuka mkati mwa mioyo ya anthu prakonetse kumzindikira nkumdziwa.
This is why the Lord says to them in verse 3, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is not to make them clean. The Lord himself would sanctify them by his death, but this would be for their keeping in him.
Ikunena kuti mwakhala wokonzeka chifukwa cha mawu amene ndakhulandire ndakuti khalani mwa ine ndine mwa inu monga nthambi singathe kubala chipatso pa yokha ngati sikhala mwa mpesa motero mulibe inunso ngati simukhala mwa ine.
So when he says you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you, he had already spoken that word to them concerning his death and how it was that he would lay down his life for them, that they might be sanctified through him who is the Word. That's how their cleansing was accomplished. So the chastening or the scourging that comes through God's proving of his own, it's not to make us clean, but rather because we are already clean through the work of Christ, this is designed to keep us from putting any confidence in our flesh, but resting in Christ alone.
Ndiyeno kudzudzulidwa kulangizidwa konse kumene Bible likulankhula kuchokera kwa Ambuye ndicholingacho kuti konzekeretsa kubwera kwake monga anthu ondikirira iye mutundu wake wonse tikuona mpingo wake akuteteza yekha.
And this comes through abiding in him. Verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me.
Divaya batinu mwaine ndine mwainu. Kulandauza kuti sizeka muntu kukhala wokonzeka ayi mwekha ayenekera abwere nalo mkati mwako nakukonze pakatero ndi pamene umakhala wokonzeka wathunthu.
I want to stop here for now and come back next time to this parable again and look at what it means to abide in the vine, to abide in Christ. But we can see already that it's not anything that we do. It's not the branch that does anything to abide in the vine, but rather it's the vine that keeps the branch because apart from the vine, the branch is nothing. So there's a lot here that we want to continue to consider and ponder. It's a very simple parable, Christ the vine, and yet how profound the teaching. But we'll come back to this the next time, the Lord willing. I'll turn it back to you.
To God be all the glory because of this beautiful time that the Lord has provided unto us. For sure, He is the true vine.